This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. So we heard from Ryan Poles earlier. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from our Scores Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. He didn't take any questions. A lot of GMs in the NFL, most, are going to take questions from the media when they open up camp. The Jerry Jones show that happens in Dallas, I consider that a little different. But for the most part, you should be able to answer questions, especially when you decide to add not only to your secondary. After we hear the news about Jalen Johnson, he said Trey Flowers is going to be a part of this team. But you also decided to add to your defensive line when you bring in Tadeu Spagnon. So you've already made two big moves. Your cornerback is going to be out a few weeks, the one who has been the Pro Bowler. We deserve some answers. And oh, by the way, you got extended for 5 years. And you don't want to get into it.
I'm enjoying
cool.
The... Water carriers online texting us right now. It's hilarious. You got an array of reactions from, if your general manager can't answer media questions, why was he extended? That's from 847.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. And then it's interesting. There's another, like, people are looking at this, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It's fine.
They're also triggered by us questioning authority. Let's just call that what it is.
Yeah, some people... Yeah,
no, that's going to happen. And
202,
and I'm sorry, I'm not going to stop making you feel uncomfortable.
202 says, feels like media whining that he isn't helping them create content to criticize polls for not taking questions. And I'm like, okay.
This person's talking to himself.
Yeah.
Somebody says, all the media would ask about is Jalen Johnson. He answered everything if you listen. No, he did not. No, we had Dan Weeder on. We wanted to talk. Dan had a lot of questions for Ryan Poles specifically about his extension. We also wanted to follow up on some comments that he made regarding steps that were skipped in last year's training camp. How is that going to be different? When you add players to your team, you should be allowed to talk about it. You should be open to say why you think you want to add them on your team or what the need is. That seems like a basic function of a general manager.
Yeah, I just... Like I said, I'm disappointed, and hopefully he will take questions at a later date and before the regular season starts. But it would have been nice to hear about him, his approach to this training camp, as you said, the steps that were skipped last training camp, and also the extension are all questions he would have been fielded if he had been, stayed at that podium a little bit longer. But we have Ben Johnson. That's the good news. And apparently it's the Ben Johnson show.
Is this the... Ben Johnson will take care of everything.
I think so. I'm starting to believe that is the approach here.
No, 708. It's not about Ryan Poles not speaking because your coach can. It's about both of them speaking because it's part of their job.
And they have different jobs. Let's be clear.
Ben Johnson shouldn't speak on behalf of the general manager, especially not when you're so confident and you wanted to extend. Nope, that's not how this works. On a good team, on a functioning team, you hear from both. So let's listen to Ben Johnson. This is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Appreciate you guys being here. Know it's fun summer and it goes by fast, but as we open this new chapter of Chicago Bears football, it's always an exciting time to get going. Wanted to echo Ryan's statement just in terms of the thank yous to the organization, from ownership to front office to staff. This place looks incredible. The whole facility is ready to go. The fields look great. And I think the fans are going to have a great time when they come and they come visit and see practice. So excited about that. Excited for our players as well. I want to say thank you to them. We got about half of them in for early training camp a few days ago, and then the other half are coming in today. And all of them are ripping. They're ready to go, in shape. You can tell that they've really taken the summer seriously. And so thank them for their time for doing that. You talk about where we're at as a team and what training camp means, and it's just another step for what we're building. The foundation's already been put in place in the springtime, and we're looking to build on that as we go over the course of camp. Competition, I think, exists at all levels of our roster. That's going to bring out the best in all of our guys. Hard to say. I mean, of course, there's certain battles that we've already highlighted that might take precedence over the course of camp. But I think everything's open and really excited to see where that leads. In terms of objectives here, we're looking to not only master our fundamentals over the next couple weeks, but also execute the playbook and really bring it to life. We'll work heavily on situational football as well. But there's really been one thing just that's been on my mind over the course of the summer, and I give Ryan some credit for this. He brought it up in the springtime. Has anyone seen that Netflix documentary, Thunderbirds? No one. Okay, good. Spoiler alert. Okay. Spoiler alert. All right. So it's the Thunderbird pilots, and what they do is they come together, and it's four new pilots, and they've never worked together. And through the course of their training, it's all about earning trust because it's a dangerous job, and they're doing some very dangerous acrobatics throughout the air. And at one point they say, I don't look straight ahead. I got to look at the lead pilot the whole time, and for 30 or 40 minutes nonstop, and we're just a few feet away. And shoot, over the course of years, there have been some tragedies that have happened with how dangerous that is. But as I think about our team and where we're going into training camp, it's really, there are a lot of parallels there because as a first-time head coach, first-year head coach, a lot of new staff members on the coaching staff, a lot of new faces in the locker room. We don't know each other particularly well, and we've tried to bridge that gap over the course of the spring. But really, the next 6 weeks is about us coming together because it takes time to build that trust. It's hard to earn, and it's really easy to lose that trust. And so really those next 6 weeks are huge. And what we're looking for, it's dependability, it's consistency, it's production on a day in and day out basis, not only from the players, but from the coaching staff as well, as we get to know each other. So that's really a big part of where we're at and what we're looking to do right now. There's a lot of excitement around the program, and I think rightfully so. There's a lot of talent on the roster. Looking forward to see what leaders come out of the locker room and really lead the charge here for us going into the fall. The focus for us is going to be on continuous improvement, all right, really for the next 6 weeks. That's all we care about, is getting a little bit better every single day, day by day, brick by brick, and that starts today. So I'll go ahead and open it up from there.
Over these next 6 weeks, what are the signs you're looking for to identify legitimate progress? A lot of times there can be things that pop up that don't necessarily translate. But what do you want to see that tells you you're moving in the right direction?
I don't think it's not linear. Okay, so there's going to be bumps. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. It's easy to have a bad day or two and go ahead and get all panicky. That's not going to be us. It's going to be a little bit more of that. But there's certain benchmarks along the way. The first couple weeks is going to be a big installation, so the guys are going to be thinking, mistakes are going to be made. I think a lot of come out of these joint practices that we have against Miami and Buffalo will be a good barometer to see where we're at as a team. And then Kansas City, you know, the preseason games, all these teams will be really good for us to kind of gauge where we're at as well. But it'll be – I don't know if there's a certain timeline on it. It's be a feel as we go through camp.
What are some benchmark goals for Caleb throughout not only camp but preseason?
Yeah, I don't. We have not put. You have to complete 60% this day, 65 the next. We haven't done that. We certainly have goals that we strive for. I won't even. It's not a secret. I told him I would love for him on the season to complete 70% of his balls. So you would like to think over the course of practice that we're completing 70% or more. That's hard to just magically arise in a game. So it's a lofty goal, but it's one that we're going to strive for. And so because of that, we're going to use that as our benchmark and kind of work from there.
And as you stepped into a new role being a head coach, what stuff did you emphasize in your own development this offseason?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've been thinking about a lot is leaning on the people around me. Okay, so I've got a very experienced coaching staff by design, from Dennis Allen to Richard Smith to Richard Hightower. We've got a number of guys that have done this at a high level for a long time. And so I'm going to be going to them for advice quite a bit when certain things arise. Along those same lines, game management's another area where first time doing it, really calling the shots. I've been well versed in it over the years, but this will be the first time actually pulling the trigger. So we have people in the building that are going to help out in that regard as well. So it's going to be leaning heavily on the people around me and trusting them.
How much of the team's identity can be developed, or you can put things in place to kind of bring that along, and how much of it has to really happen organically?
I think, yeah, it's a mix of both. We know what we want to be about. Offensively, we talk about being explosive, being detailed. On defense, we do want to press on the outside. We want to challenge. We want to stop the run with Shelly. There's a number of things that we talk about on offense and on defense. And as a team, we want to be physical. We want to be poised. All right. There are things that we want, but it all comes together over the course of camp. And so that's why this time is so important, because those guys are really the ones driving that ship.
I know that Ryan said that Braxton's going to start, like, he'll be on a ramp-up period to get up to speed. But when you look at the benchmarks you're going to set to evaluate that left tackle position, does he naturally have a leg up just because he's been the starter for 3 years, or do you view all three of them as
– Yeah, I would like to think his experience will help him. But we're coming in with blank slates right now. So they're just because a guy's played and another guy hasn't in this league, we're going to let the competition play out, and we'll see where it goes.
What do you expect out of Colston in his recovery from this injury? And how long does it take for a rookie who's never been at this level, who's never played with Caleb before, to just kind of feel comfortable in what you guys are doing?
Everyone's different. Everyone's completely different. I can tell you, from the moment he's gotten into the building, I'm just blown away by how he approaches everything. I mean, I don't think there's a guy I saw in the building more this summer than him, you know, and it's really a credit for who he wants to be as he continues to get. He's attacking the rehab hard. He wants to be a factor here this fall.
And you're listening to the Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson press conference on 670 The Score, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
You split the reps. Braxton needs some time. You give him some time. But is three more challenging if you're
yeah, looking at all yeah. It's why everything's going to matter. Every play matters. It all is going to matter as we go through this thing. And so I can't tell you, I've been through a three-man race before. And so each play is going to be evaluated, and they got to take full advantage of each opportunity that they get.
We should expect to see Darnell Wright in this mix at left tackle, like at some point.
Our plan is to keep Darnell at the right side right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So he's not part of the competition then?
For the left side?
Yeah.
I'd say Caron's still part of that. Okay. Yep.
Ben, you have to know how much, or how you can gauge how much a quarterback's cup you can fill. And how much have you filled Caleb's cup, if you will? I've talked to play callers in the league, like KOC, who talks about with Sam last year, filling his cup each week at a different level.
Yeah.
For you, where does that go?
It goes back to getting to know each other. You know, in the springtime, we saturated everybody, quarterback, everybody on offense got a lot of information. We're just trying to introduce a lot of elements of the system. When you look back at it, there's probably some things that you wouldn't run against DA's defense that we just wanted to get introduced. Going into camp, it's going to be a lot here early on. These first 2 weeks, we're still going to do a lot. And it's not so much to attack the defense or anything like that. It's we got to find out who we are. And I'm going beyond just the quarterback here. I don't know if we're going to be a wide zone team up front. I don't know if we're going to be a gap team yet. There's a lot of things that got to play out, and we won't know until we get the pads on. But, yeah, it's something you're certainly conscious of, is what's the right amount, not only over the course of camp, but more importantly once we get into the season. And that's something as a staff that we're going to have to hone into.
Is there an ideal point where you'd like to have that left tackle settle down? And if Braxton's ramp up takes a little bit longer than that, does he just come in kind of playing catch up, or does he get a fair shot from an even perspective?
Yeah, everyone's going to have a fair shot at this. And we're going to work him back in, and we'll see where he's at. And as part of the evaluation, you know, is to see how ready he is by week one. So by week one, we'll know exactly who our starting five are going to be. And if that takes 3 weeks to figure out, great. If that takes 6 weeks to figure out, no problem.
Do you made some key changes to
play more guys in the preseason games more aggressively than perhaps it's been done in the past to try to figure all this out?
I don't know what's been done in the past. Like I said, I'm going to take a lot of weight into these joint practices. That's our initial plan, and we'll see how much we play guys over the course of the preseason games.
You're trying to build trust with Caleb, obviously, and he's coming off of a rookie year that got derailed. Do you have to massage that in a different way or have more patience in that? Or do you feel like the foundation is there to start trusting each other quickly?
Yeah, I think we're ready to go. The governor's off. He and I have been talking all spring, all summer, constant phone calls, constant conversations. And so I think we're in a great place, and he wants to get coached hard, and we're going to push him as hard as we can and do what's right for the team.
And there was a lot of talk about sort of resetting Caleb's foundation and solidifying that. What for you are the specifics of a quarterback's foundation, the things that have to be in place before you progress?
now you're getting deep. It's one of the big points of emphasis we had in the springtime, and it's going to carry over to camp, was our pre-snap procedure. And so that's calling the plays, that's the motions, that's the shifts, that's the cadence. We're going to continue to carry that. We use that as a weapon, and that's not going to change. That's certainly an advantage for us on offense. Beyond that, though, there were some footwork things that we wanted to clean up, trusting the timing of your feet, being able to anticipate throws. It's a lot of stuff that goes into that position, and rather than throwing the whole gauntlet at him, we're just building it from the ground up. He took some homework with him over the course of the summer, and he's come back. Even though we haven't done anything full speed over the last few days, we've noticed some improvements along the way. So really excited to see where this thing goes over the next few weeks.
Ben, you talked about situational coaching and about having to make decisions you haven't had to make before. Once these games starts, timeouts, those sorts of things. How do you get good at that without having done it before? I know the Bears, can put you through some scenarios.
That's right.
But is that, tell me, what was that like?
It's how you get good at anything. I think it's repetition over and over and over again. You watch tape, you put yourself in that mindset. If I was here now in this situation, what would I do? That's why the situations we practice over the course of camp are going to be huge for not only me, but for also the rest of the staff and the players to figure out how my mind works so that they can play off of that accordingly. I just hope we can in 6 weeks get enough reps to feel good going into week one. That's the challenge. This is a race now. Like, everything's a race. We got to get our fundamentals down. We got to get our execution down. Like, this is going to be a challenge, certainly for the first year with new systems on both sides of the ball. That's the fun part of it too, though. That's the challenge that we want, and it's going to be some hard work.
In that sense, is the preseason game important for you and your staff, whether your starters are there or not, just because you may have some of those situations?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question about it.
You heard Ben Johnson himself. This is a race. Are you going to hit the ground running? We have much more from Hallis Hall. Our reaction to what Ben Johnson had to say. We get yours as well. You can text us 312-644-67. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And a friendly reminder as we continue our training camp coverage, it is brought to you by Chevy Drive Silverado, Chevy Drive Chicago, and the number one draft pick, the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. More with Raheemy and Harris and you, and more from Hallis Hall next on The Score.
Layla Raheemy, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You talk about where we're at as a team and what training camp means, and it's just another step for what we're building. The foundation's already been put in place in the springtime, and we're looking to build on that as we go over the course of camp. Competition, I think, exists at all levels of our roster. That's going to bring out the best in all of our guys. Hard to say. Of course, there's certain battles that we've already highlighted that might take precedence over the course of camp, but I think everything's open and really excited to see where that leads.
Don't do it, Ben Johnson. Don't say everything's on the table. Don't do it after general manager only spoke for 2 minutes and 43 seconds after getting extended for 5 years. Don't. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score, talking about what we just heard from both Ryan Poles, and Ben Johnson at Alice Hall. Ben Johnson talked for 19 minutes, so that was good. You want to hear from your head coach. I want to hear from both.
I thought it was 14 minutes.
It was 14? Okay, these headphones leave a little bit to be desired, clearly. But the point is, Ben spoke for more time.
Much more time, considerably more time. And that's fine. Listen, clearly Ben Johnson's going to be the big man on campus, the mouthpiece, everything else at Alice Hall going forward. And that's fine.
But he should not be the one to field questions when it comes to when you add personnel. And for those who may have missed it earlier, we heard that Jalen Johnson suffered a leg injury in training. He will remain on the NFI list. Ryan Poles expects him to be out a few weeks. And then Ryan Poles also said that the team signed defensive back Trey Flowers, not to be confused with the defensive lineman, and then also defensive lineman Tano Passegno. So that's something where you can at least understand that the team did want to add and make a couple of more moves ahead of this training camp. As for what we heard from Ben Johnson, one of the biggest things that stands out to me is when he said, "This is a race." He talked about the sense of urgency he needs not only out of the team, but out of himself, out of the coaching staff, how important each game is in order to be able to not only evaluate the team, but also learn procedure for himself. And we both keyed in on this when Brad Biggs asked Ben Johnson what your benchmark goals are for not only your quarterback, but the rest of your team. And Johnson said he would love it if Caleb Williams could complete 70% of his passes. Well, we know that that was not the case last season, and he's known for his accuracy, Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams last season, I believe it was 62.5%, and I thought that that was good. So when you consider 70 as the benchmark, that kind of also lets you know what Ben Johnson wants to see out of his quarterback.
How many quarterbacks do you think passed at a 70% rate or better last year, if you just had to take a wild guess?
At 70?
70.
Seven.
We've got, of people who've played double-digit games, there were five.
Wow.
There were five. The quarterbacks in question were, not surprisingly, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, and Tua Tagovailoa. He's the only one of those five that I named that didn't play 17 games. Of course, he was out with concussion. So those are the guys who passed for over 70%. Closely behind that, Jaden Daniels, 69%.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, 68.8%. And Jalen Hurts, 68.7%.
Yeah, I thought Jalen Hurts was somewhere up there. But I didn't realize that they were just outside of that mark.
70 is a high mark.
Yes, it is.
That is hard to do. It is not easy.
And when you balance it with what we know about Ben Johnson talking about EPA and how that dictates how he views metrics, how he wants to see his offense succeed, I feel like that is a big piece of understanding not only the standard that he creates for his quarterback, but also how it all factors in. It sounds like there's going to be more, more risks that are going to have to be taken when it comes to all of this.
I'm not so sure if it's going to be a risk thing. It might be a more quick outs thing. It might be a more, let's just make sure we can complete the 5-yard pass and let our receiver do the work. Think about the stable of playmakers they have right now. When you talk about guys from last year, whether it's Rome Odunze, whether it's DJ Moore.
DeAndre Swift can catch a few passes out of a backfield to up your percentage game.
Also that. And then when you look at the two players that they added, Luther Burden III and, of course, Colston Loveland, it seems like the idea here is to get the ball in playmakers' hands as quickly as possible and let them do it, to speak to the EPA portion of the conversation.
Yeah, you want your quarterback to be one of those playmakers too. But the easy way first, I think, is to be able to do this, where you're trusting your veterans and trusting the guys who have a little more experience of you first. So I think that that's okay.
No, I also want to say this. If he does complete 70% of his passes, the odds of this team having a winning record will shoot up dramatically. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's important that this is a task that is completed. Because you mentioned 62.5%, that was not high on the list. That was very much the lower third of the NFL in terms of quarterback completion percentage.
Which tells you a lot about the upper 60s being guys like Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts, when the lower 60s are guys like Caleb Williams. That to me says a lot about the contrast in that part of the percentage group. 70s, I think, is obviously your outlier. Those are when you get into elite passing stats. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score as we listen and discuss what we heard out of Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. Another aspect of what Ben Johnson said is contradictory to what we originally heard, is that it sounds like, and this was always my impression, that Darnell Wright was going to stay on the right side. Now that we know that Braxton Jones is ready and he's going to be ramped up, it makes sense that theoretically that would be a Ozzie Trapillo, Karan Amagaji, Braxton Jones type of competition. When Mark Grody asked Ben Johnson the question, he said Karan would be in at the competition at left and reconfirmed that Darnell Wright would not be playing at left tackle.
Sounds like they are set at four positions on the offensive line, and the only one that is in question is indeed left tackle. But there is not a two-man race, but as Ben Johnson defined it, a three-man race. We've often talked about Ozzie Trapillo, Braxton Jones, and of course, Karan Amagaji has kind of been in the back seat of that. But it sounds like from Ben Johnson's standpoint, at least what he told us today in his first press conference from training camp, is it is an open competition. Everyone will have a chance to compete for that left tackle spot.
I also found it interesting when Dan Weirer was asking him about what the offense is going to look like and what some of the marks were going to be for success. He mentioned cadence along with pre-snap procedure, footwork, understanding where your weapons are, and anticipating throws. And when he said cadence, I know we heard a lot last season about cadence being an issue early, and then the Bears were saying, oh, well, it's been fixed. I don't necessarily think it was. Not to the extent where they were happy with it. I feel like we heard a lot, even when the Nats mic, the natural sound mic, would pick up, like the field mic, you'd hear from the quarterback. I feel like there were still a lot of timing issues. So I appreciate that Ben Johnson brought up cadence when it came to the Bears operating pre-snap and what they were seeing. Because I wonder if that was one of those steps that was skipped or something that they thought was going to be okay that never really was fixed the way they wanted it to be last season.
So when you say it's up to the Bears' standards, specifications, that doesn't necessarily mean it was up to the standard of Ben Johnson and what he wants out of his quarterback. That's where I'm kind of drawing a direct line to, is Caleb Williams fulfilling the expectations of this head coach in this moment? And I think Ben Johnson has very different expectations, first of all, for what he wants out of Caleb Williams right now as they're kind of building things up versus what he wants a finished product in week 18 to look like. And I found it interesting that he talked about kind of building this thing up in terms of talking about the first couple of weeks was just installation. They're doing this like step by step, aka not skipping steps in what they want. And it may take a little longer than originally planned if there are setbacks in the learning process. I'm good with that, as you talked about. Same thing you said about injuries and not having injuries that you're dealing with in the regular season. You'd rather rest guys now. I'd rather you get it right now.
That's it for me. That's it. And if pre-snap is so much of this, and I go on about it a lot, you know, and I compliment your boy Aaron Rodgers.
He's not my boy.
There's nobody better than reading a field pre-snap than Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. To me, that's still the gold standard. And so when you consider how much work is done before the snap, then that makes a lot of this make a lot of sense to me. Another thing that was discussed was, I think, a little bit of a sneak peek when it comes to looking at the offense. When he talks about not only getting to know each other as a team, but he mentions the phrasing, there were plays that you would not want to run against a Dennis Allen offense, but we've got to introduce them. And that makes me wonder, were they just simply not successful, but you needed to at least understand those concepts? Like, the measurement of success there wasn't going to be whether or not you completed the pass, wasn't going to be whether or not you got a lot of yards in that play. It was going to be understanding that's what you need to do. Because if you're bringing up the defense already in that context, that makes me think that some of the plays you were running just weren't successful in off-season programs.
I would say more of it's about keeping the defense honest. you know your bread and butter plays, right? The ones that you feel like have a much higher chance of working. From an analytics standpoint, we know he's big on analytics, from a percentage standpoint. But what makes those plays effective, part of the reason is how it fits under your entire umbrella of a playbook. And you got to run this play every once in a while just to keep the defense honest.
Well, what about also what he had to say about whether or not he doesn't know if they're outside zone or if they're gap? That was big.
I think he's still figuring it out. I think he's still trying to tailor the personnel and what they can do. Because first thing you do is find out, what are we bad at? Because if you know if you're bad at something, you're not going to do that.
Well, you shouldn't.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, I do think there are coaches that will still force it.
They're
because
stubborn.
They want to believe that their scheme is the one that will be successful. But that's a big dictating mission statement there when you want to tell people how you're running the ball. It also kind of lets me know that that wasn't a real big need for you when it came to the responsibilities of your offensive linemen. Because typically, a lot of times, teams will get certain personnel because they know they fit an outside gap scheme, for example, or an outside zone scheme, for example. So in that vein, I was very interested to hear him say that, because I'm thinking, so why did you get the guys you wanted? Because you knew that they could do those things? Like both of them? You know, that's an interesting point of it to me.
The one part of the question I have is, okay, you have this offensive line that you essentially handpicked along with Ryan Poles to build your offense and your playbook from the studs. That's the quote, right? But do you have the personnel in your backfield and your array of weapons to do exactly what you want to do? I don't know if Kyle Manungai and Swift, and you can go up and down the other running backs, Roshon Johnson, can do all the stuff that you want to do in as effective a manner as it was being done in Detroit. And that's really what this is about, is how good can your offense be? Especially if Caleb Williams isn't where you want him to be at the beginning of the season. Because that's the telltale sign for me. Your performance early in the season is going to put you in position to either even be within shouting distance of a playoff spot or not. To be within a shouting distance of a winning record or not.
You know who answers that question, especially when you previous to this had a reported $14.5 million under the cap? Your general manager.
I mean, I would ask him about it, but I heard he wasn't taking questions.
And that's fine. We should be happy with what we get. Go Bears!
Hey, man.
They went 5-12 last season. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. More from Hallis Hall next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've been here. I've been here through the whole offseason program, knowing what these guys are made of, knowing what this coaching staff is made of, and it's the right people in the building. It's the right people in the building. So if I didn't have that knowledge, I wouldn't have the confidence to speak like I do about that. But I know it's going to be tough. But it's going to be fun. And we're going to earn our right to win a lot of games, and we're going to feel good about it, because we know without a doubt the work going to be put in.
When is the last time you heard Grady Jarrett like this? This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
You mean the last time I heard him talk? Grady Jarrett sounds like this every time, doesn't he? No?
I'm going to let this song play out for a second and remind you who released an album.
Oh! Oh, why are you doing this? I did it to myself. You're right. My bad.
I did not do this to
I said I did it to myself. I took accountability. Hold on. I stepped to the mic and took accountability for my actions.
Also, see how we had a conversation about it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, like, when's the last time you heard on the opening day of training camp that the right people are in the building? I mean,
that's every training
annual
camp.
Annual occurrence.
That's
right?
An annual occurrence. I'm in the best shape of my life. Man, he showed up. He was in the best. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
You know, I've heard that about random player on selected team. I feel like that is a common discussion. I also, though, don't mock it as much as a lot of other people, because there's a good chance that they did do the work. It's just a matter of whether or not that talent and ability translates.
I don't know that I've ever heard someone on day one of training camp saying, oh, yeah, we didn't do the work this summer.
But I do think there are players who come in much better shape than they were the year before, and they have actually worked hard. And I don't want to discredit them trying to make that point.
Or hype themselves up. Yes, I agree with you on that.
I know that may sound odd, but
no.
I just, for whatever reason, I'm like not as upset about it, that particular thing, as a lot of other people.
Is it? Do you have a favorite first day of training camp / spring training, you know, cliche that either coaches, managers, players say?
Mine is always we had a great week of practice leading up to a game, when a lot of times you know that that is just not the truth. And I always go back to say, different sport, but Kerry Wood always talks about how he had a terrible bullpen before his 21 strikeout game.
Yeah. Don't give him the extra strikeout game.
Sorry about that. But the point is, he always talks about on the anniversary how he had a terrible bullpen. And I always think that that is that's a sign. Sometimes you can have a remarkable historical game, and then you still know that it wasn't great beforehand.
I just want the Bears to be different than what they were last year. That is my request. And you can read into that any way you want, but since we're on these airwaves, I can be more specific. I'll say this. Don't be depressing. Don't be that Seattle game that you mentioned. Be something different than that. If you're going to lose 26-24. You know, don't lose 6-3.
If that happens in the modern Ben Johnson era, we might have an
somebody,
issue.
Yes.
Although I will say this, the 2022 Lions went 1-6 to start the season. I think that's an important thing to remember. All of that said, we have time to hear from Grady Jarrett for a couple minutes at least, Ray, before we hand it off. Let's do it. Grady Jarrett, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
And specifically, though, this cut is about how can Grady Jarrett help Bears quarterback Caleb Williams?
Oh. Encouraging words, stuff like that. But also, more than just encouraging words, telling somebody a good time, sometimes you got to talk a little mess to them, you know, or challenge them, give them difficulty. So by the time the game come, you know, nothing going to phase them, you know. And so it's love, but it's going to be – it's like big brother love, you know, and because you want the best for him, but and he want to do his best. But, you know, we got to put a tough defense out there for him to face, you know. We got to talk a little smack, but also in between time, we got to hang out. We got to break bread, eat together, stuff like that. So I think he's going to be more than ready to go. And that's true. The preparation of everybody just all hands on deck, you know, just and everybody wanted to see him do his best, man. I mean, the talent he got is, you know, out of this world. But I think he'd be the first to tell you, come with putting in that hard work, daily grind. And that's what I've been super impressed with so far, being his teammate so far, just how bought in, committed he is to really try to achieve greatness, man. I can't wait for the world to see it.
Big brother love is a thing. Let me tell you something. As a big brother, the way you treat your younger sibling, you do want them to be like the best they can be, but you also want to be like, I'm going to make it so tough for you that the real world is easy out there.
That's it. I mean, I think that that's the theme of practice when you've heard a lot of these people, is that Ben Johnson, others, they want practice to be the hard part. They want this to be the hard part. So by the time you get to Sunday, you know what to do, and it's not nearly as difficult.
I love that Grady Jarrett has that veteran acumen that he's bringing to the table and has seen a lot, obviously. He was on a team that went 8-9 last year, so he knows what teetering around 500 actually looks like. He's been to the playoffs, obviously. He's done some things that Caleb Williams is hoping to do in his career, and I think it is a welcome addition, whether that was Ryan Poles with Dennis Allen or that was Dennis Allen with Ryan Poles, however you want to say that lined up. I'm glad that Grady Jarrett is a member of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about the leadership and just the appreciation. You know, and the sad part was the Falcons had to part with him. Like, that was the part where I think, you know, we've heard it time and time again from so many people that we were going to appreciate him being here. And we certainly do from this standpoint, for sure, out of the gate. Grady Jarrett was also asked how much he's gotten to know his quarterback so far.
I've been all right with Caleb a good bit. You know, we exchanged numbers. He was one of the first people to reach out to me when I signed to the team. And but just as much as any of the guys, man. I mean, very, very, very cool guy, man. And, you know, super approachable and super welcoming when I got here. And so I'm excited to be able to have him as a quarterback and see what he was.
What have you seen in his skill set?
I mean, just making some amazing throws, throwing on the run. And just, I didn't realize how fast he was, you know, getting out of the pocket, how ripped and in shape he is. So, I mean, he's somebody who you can see he's an elite athlete along with an elite quarterback. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
I'm with it. I'm with all of it. Like, yes, please show us what you can do, Mr. Fields. Williams. Why did I say Fields?
I gave Kerry Wood an extra strikeout. It's cool.
Yeah.
Look. Well, maybe. I mean,
no, it's cool.
I heard Kerry Wood had a 45 strikeout game. No, I'm just kidding.
That's better. That's better. Because not only did he go the distance.
I think it's physically impossible.
He went extra innings.
I did actually see a guy throw 170 pitches of no-hit baseball.
If those were immaculate innings,
college.
He could have done that. That's only, what, 45 times 3?
Don't worry about it.
It's only 135 pitches.
I think this is a great time, though, to hear from Grady Jarrett when you bring him on and so much is said about his leadership. Yeah, guess what we're going to talk about right now? His leadership. It works out perfectly.
I am interested to see how Caleb Williams takes that next step in a leadership role this year. Not just his, obviously, on-the-field play, but I want to know that his teammates are with him every step of the way.
And similarly, I don't necessarily need the quarterback to act and sound a certain type of way. That's never been something I care about. I think there are times where they force a certain personality trait onto a quarterback where that guy isn't that dude. There are good examples of success when you can see clearly that sometimes it's what that person does for a living, but it's not necessarily who they are. And I feel like in this case, Ben Johnson's giving him the directions. We heard it again today when he talks about wanting to see the game through his eyes. So you have your leader. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a certain mold. And that's what I think is important to observe out of this, too.
One thing that's clear is this guy is ready to create his own mold. You could talk about leading up to the draft and what we saw in year one and the way he reacted. And, of course, the story about him and his dad. Like, this is a one-of-one guy. I just want to see what kind of one he's going to be.
And he was at camp early, for the record. Like, we saw the post from the Bears. He came in early. And even if it's just a day before he's supposed to be there, it's encouraging. It sends a message.
Setting the tone, leading by example.
And those are things that I think people pay attention to when it comes to the details. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We want to hear what Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel think, so we will ask them next.